Broadcasting live from the Harvey C. Jacobs Memorial Control Room in the heart of New Mexico State University, it's KRWG's Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org.
Can you smell the beautiful aroma of green chili in the air? Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez. Join me as we kick off chili season with the official question of New Mexico, red or green? That's today's topic on Voice of the Public. You can call it KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Our guest will be Dr. Paul Boslin with the Chili Pepper Institute at NMSU and Juan Morales with the Santa Fe Grill.
Call in right now at 575-646-2212 or join us on our social media desk to ask your questions or comment for Voice of the Public. Voice of the Public is live after the news.
KRWG's Red or Green Confidential is brought to you by the Hatch Chili Festival, taking place September 2nd and 3rd, with the parade downtown, live entertainment, a chili eating contest, and crowning of the Hatch Valley Chili Queen at the Hatch Municipal Airport, 1 mile west of town on Highway 26. Information at hatchchilifest.com. It's chili season. The beautiful aroma of green chili is in the air. Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez. Join me as we take a break from all the political talk and kick off chili season with the official question of New Mexico, red or green? That's today's topic on Voice of the Public. You can call it KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Our special guests are Dr. Paul Boslin with the Chili Pepper Institute at NMSU and Juan Morales with the Santa Fe Grill. Call in right now at 575-646-2212 or join us on our social media desk to ask your questions or comments for Voice of the Public. All calls and social media questions during the show will be entered to win a chili prize pack from the Chili Pepper Institute and gift certificates to the Santa Fe Grill. We are live streaming the show on KRWG's Facebook page, and that, what a sight you will see with chili products and food we are featuring. Dr. Paul Boslin, Juan Morales, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Edmundo.
All right, so let's kick off the question with Dr. Boslin. Is it chili season? Are we officially kicking it off right here, right now?
We can. Rule of thumb is the last week of July is when the green chili begins to be harvested, and it's usually picked into end of September, and then red chili begins in September to December.
Dr. Boslin, what's the chili crop looking like this year?
You know, everybody asks that question, and there are some fields that are
It's a burning question.
Yeah, it's a burning question, right? It's absolutely beautiful, you know, but unfortunately with the rains, sometimes farmers do have some disease problems. Some fields may or may not make it, but overall, it's just a beautiful season. It's just been perfect.
Juan Morales, let's talk about the difference. I'm going to put you on the spot because this is what this show is about. Talk to me about the difference between northern versus southern New Mexican food.
Well, let me tell you, Edmundo, southern New Mexico grows the best chili in the world, by far. Northern New Mexico grows some great chili as well. The recipes are handed down from generation to generation. Now, preferably, personally, I prefer green chili.
You're a green chili man.
I'm a green chili man. Let me tell you why, because I sell close to 5,000 pounds of green chili a month.
5,000 pounds? How many stores do you have?
I have 11 stores in Mundo, 10 in Las Cruces and 1 in Hatch, New Mexico.
And what is the most popular dish out the door?
Well, by far, our burritos.
Okay. Which burrito?
Well, let me tell the medicine man.
What's in the medicine man?
Well, the medicine man, it's grilled steak, skillet potatoes, bacon, fire-roasted green chili, topped off with our cream cheddar Alfredo sauce and cheddar, because cheddar always makes it better.
Dr. Boslin, makes your mouth water.
It does. I can just see that beautiful burrito.
And your burritos are not small.
No, they're not. They're bigger than the average burrito.
Why is that?
Because we put a lot of TLC into them, Edmundo. A lot of green chili, a lot of loving, a lot of steak, a lot of chicken. You name it, we got it.
Juan, well, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation. Or you can also join Fred Martino, who is standing by the social media desk, for your comments or questions for Voice of the Public. A reminder, all calls and social media questions during the show will be entered to win a chili prize pack from the Chili Pepper Institute and gift certificates to the Santa Fe Grill. We're going to be having the drawing at the end of the show. The only catch is you must be able to pick up the prize right here at the KRWG studios, because as you can see, these prize packs are pretty big. Dr. Boston, what's in one of these prizes?
Well, in the box there is four of our hot sauces that we have. We use our New Mexico chilies that were developed here at New Mexico State University to formulate there. And one of them is actually Sancto Scorpio, made from the scorpion chili that's 2 million Scoville heat units. And just recently there was a news story that Tabasco came out with a scorpion hot sauce. They sold out and won't have any until November. But we have it here at NMSU at the Chili Pepper Institute.
Dr. Boston, let's talk about chili taste. Over the years, are we in a super hot era?
You know, when I first started, the media would always ask me, is chili peppers a trend or a fad? Nobody asks that anymore. And yes, it seems like the young generation really likes hotter, spicier food. And so they're the ones that are really pushing it. The older generation, they kind of like the mild, medium heat level, but the young generation really likes it hot. I don't know if that's what you see at the Santa Fe Grill or not.
Absolutely, Doctor. You know, these millennials, they're incredible. These guys love hot chili. Not only hot chili, the hotter the better. That's where we came up with our Wildfire, Chile de Arbol. Now, the Scovilles on that are pretty high. Not as high as a Tobago scorpion tail, but they are high.
Dr. Boston, let's talk about the different chili sauces that you can make with this. And these type of super hots are not the kind you just take a bite off of.
No, that you have to blend them down a bit. But, you know, it's interesting. They come from poor regions of the world where people don't have a lot of money to buy things. And so one chili can actually be used for many dishes. And in some places, they call it the seven soup chili, because you actually season seven soups with it because it's so hot.
What is the official hottest chili in the world right now?
We say it's the Trinidad Moruga Scorpion, and that's the one that we tested at 2 million Scoville heat units. And, you know, some people ask, well, what about Guinness records? And Guinness has their own kind of standards or way they label things. What we have to do here at NMSU and the Chili Pepper Institute is actually grow them with controls, replicated trials, and then test them to really affirm what is the hottest chili.
And Juan, what's the hottest chili for you? What says Juan when it comes to your own personal appetite in chili?
Chile de árbol.
Chile de árbol.
Chile de árbol.
Now, that is something I grew up with. My mom used chile de árbol for a lot of her sauces.
Yes.
And a lot of people traditionally use jalapenos.
You know, that's one of the things we've been trying to teach the public about chilies. It's not only about heat. It's about flavor. Different chilies have different flavors. And I think, Juan, you could speak to this about how using a different kind of chili with the different dishes presents a whole different flavor into the dish.
Absolutely. One of our burrito fills, it's our green chili pork roast that we make with our fire roasted green chili, and we also use fire roasted jalapeno to give it an extra zing to it. Gives it that extra pizzazz.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. What do you prefer, red or green? What's your favorite chili recipe? How many pounds of chili will you be hoarding this holiday this season? Do you put eggs on your enchiladas? Who makes the best New Mexico? What makes New Mexico enchiladas unique? Is it the fact that they're flat as opposed to rolled? And who makes the best green chili cheeseburger in town? This is the question I ask all the time. Who makes the best green chili cheeseburger in town? I personally, when it comes to the green chili cheeseburger, I like the one at the Double Eagle restaurant. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to try it, but it is a monster of a cheeseburger, and it's got some great green chili.
It is an award-winning cheeseburger, by the way, but you got to go and try the one at Santa Fe Grill.
I have not tried. See, all right, talk to me, because
I was going to say the one I make in my kitchen, but you can't come.
Yeah, I can't come. You won't invite me.
So you better go to the Santa Fe Grill.
What makes your Santa Fe Grill cheeseburger unique?
Because we make it the way you want it, when you want it, served on a toasted roll with sesame seeds with a whole lot of green chili on it.
All right, let's go to our social media desk with Fred Martino is standing by. Fred, welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public. It is the Red or Green Confidential. What are people saying on social media?
Lots of questions. We're going to start with Liz, and she has a question. Have the recent rains affected the chili harvest?
Absolutely. We can't pick chili if the field is muddy or wet, and so we do have to let it dry. And I think that's why when you hear the weather reports each night, we're talking about how soon will the fields dry. They're not saying the fields dry out, but how soon does it dry out? And that's really what they mean is we can't get in the field when they're muddy. So it has affected it. But, you know, there are places that get more rain than others, and so right now I'm sure there are fields that are bone dry and can be picked, and then there's others that are still a little wet.
Okay, and we have one more question here. It's a long one from Jason. Jason says that he gets his supply of Hatch roasted chili, lets it sweat and bags it, and he bags it with the charred skin still on. And then he unfreezes it and peels it and uses it, and he wants to know, he thinks this gives the product a more smoky flavor, but his friend says he's just too lazy and I should do everything at once. What do you think?
Well, this is Juan, and that's a very good method right there because that's the way my mother does it. And what it does, you know, it does give it that charred flavor, that delicious smoky aroma to it, and it's very easy. I call that an easy peel because you get it, you put it in your sink, let it thaw for a couple of hours or even run some cold water in it, that skin just falls right off.
Is that a good tip to remove the skin off the chili?
Well, it's your personal preference. I do it both ways. And a way to do it after you roast it, which you could do, you could just take it over to the sink with your sprayer right over your food disposal, and just spray it off, and that skin will fall right off.
Well, one of the interesting things is most people will say, well, when I freeze my green chilies, they're hotter than if I de-skin them and de-vein them. And that's true because the veins, that crosswall, is the only part of a chili that's hot. So if you leave it in when you freeze them, that heat compound can ooze into the walls that don't have any heat when they're freshly picked. And so what you can do is you pull out the vein, they'll stay milder. If you leave the vein in or that crosswall, they'll actually get hotter in the freezer.
Is that the theory of where the hotness comes from? It comes from the vein, not the seed.
Absolutely true. Only the veins produce the capsaicin or the oils. The seeds, the walls are heatless.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Voice of the Public, it is KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Our special guests are Dr. Paul Boslin with the Chili Pepper Institute at NMSU and Juan Morales with the Santa Fe Grill. They are here to talk about chili. What's your favorite chili, red or green? We took a poll, and we're going to have results of that poll in just a bit. But right now, though we're taking a break from political talk, we wanted to know how our local elected officials like their chili. We asked them, and here is how they responded.
Hi, this is Mayor Ken Miyagashima, City of Las Cruces, and I actually prefer green chili because I enjoy roasting these chilies, and then, of course, when right off the grill, put them on tortilla and some white cheese and salt and eat it that way. Now, if I don't get to all of them, those green will eventually turn to red, which I'll then be able to use for my red chili colorado. So I get to use it both ways.
This is Congressman Pierce, and the question of whether I like the red or green chili the best, absolutely the green. Like them whole, not chopped. I put them on everything. I put them on my hamburgers, cheeseburgers, bacon cheeseburgers, eggs, scrambled eggs, the frijoles. I put them in everything except ice cream. Green by far.
My name is Senator Tom Udall, Democratic Senator from the great state of New Mexico. My favorite chili is Christmas, and my favorite dish are tacos.
Hi, this is U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, and I'm here to talk a little bit of chili with all of you. I think for those of us from New Mexico, chili is not just a food. It's part of our identity. It's part of our culture, and we're all passionate about it. My favorite chili is red chili, and I want to share a quick, simple recipe. My favorite thing to do with red chili is to start out with an elk shank, to brown it in a Dutch oven with some butter, get it nice and brown on the outside, and then just smother it in red chili sauce. Put the lid on and put it in the oven overnight and do about 190 degrees for 14-15 hours. And when you get up in the morning, all of that carne adobada just comes apart. You can put it on eggs. You can put it in a burrito. There's just nothing you can do with that that's wrong. So that's my chili recipe. I hope you enjoy it, and look forward to hearing all of yours as well.
Well, what do we think about Senator Heinrich's recipe for his carne adobada?
Very good recipe.
Dr. Bossman?
I'm going to say it's probably wonderful, but I'm not that great of a cook to chef to say anything.
What goes into putting together a good recipe with chili? I mean, you know, there's plenty of recipes out there. Dr. Bossman, I was at your store the other day at the Chili Pepper Institute, and you have a plethora of cooking books. But what goes into putting together a good recipe, following the recipe, and getting the flavors that you get from the recipe?
Well, Edmundo, you know, these recipes, everybody can read the recipe, but you have to have a passion for cooking to follow a good recipe and to make it taste the way you want it. Now, let me tell you, that recipe for the carne adobada, that's a northern New Mexico recipe, which is great. As you can see right here, I brought one of our carne adobadas over here, and it is amazing as well.
What goes into your carne adobada?
Well, we start off with a Barker red chili, and it is fabulous. New Mexico red chili. And it's, and I like it hot. Not extra hot, hot because it does get hot. It has that zip that you want. And what we do, we season it with our very own spices. Everybody has their seasons for their adobada. You know, it's just like rock and roll. Everybody has their own tune.
And everything is good.
Everything is good.
And sitting here, I can vouch for that. It smells absolutely divine. I can't wait till we get to try it after the show here.
Dr. Bossman, we had a caller that wanted to know about the nutritional value of chili.
Very nutritious, both the green and the red. Green chili has more vitamin C than an orange on a per weight basis, and red chili has more vitamin A than a carrot on a per weight basis. So it's very nutritious for you, and so it also has a lot of other minerals and vitamins in the chilies. So it's a very nutritious food, and also nowadays we hear a lot about digestive issues, and chili is one of those things that can help the digestive tract. It really does help you have a healthy digestive system.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by ready to hear from you. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a prize pack courtesy of the Chili Pepper Institute. Also, we have as a drawing a $25 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. That should get you a lot of burritos. And we also have a prize pack. What's in the prize pack, Juan?
Well, we have some of our signature sauces. We have our wildfire, our green sauce right there, and then our red sauce, our snake bite, which is just off the hook. It is phenomenal. We also have some gift certificates in there and some tostada chips and some menus, so you can choose any of your favorite burritos.
Juan, what goes into making a good salsa? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's taken you years to get the salsas to where you want them, and a lot of trial and error, but what's the secret to a good salsa?
Well, Edmundo, you know, our sauce, we fire roast our jalapenos. We fire roast our red chili as well. We add a little bit of garlic, a little bit of oregano, a little bit of salt. You know, you just jazz it up the way you want it.
Let's talk about cilantro. We had this conversation last year, and there's some people that love or don't love cilantro. I personally love cilantro.
I love cilantro, too, but I use it in another sauce. It's salsa fresca, as known as pico de gallo.
Pico de gallo. Okay. Pico de gallo. What goes into pico de gallo?
Jalapenos, diced jalapeno, onion, tomato, cilantro.
Do you keep the seeds in your pico de gallo?
Yes, sir.
And does that add a kick to it? Or?
Well, we keep the seeds and the veins in there, so it does add a kick to it.
Dr. Bossman, again, when picking chili, what should one look for? I know that I'm a pretty simple person. I go to the same chili guy every year in Hatch. Chili Willie is his name. And what he does is he roasts the chili, and then he hoses it down. Mm-hmm. And that gets the skin off. Mm-hmm. And so I'm able to go home, put it in their freezer bags, and put them in the freezer right away, but not before I put it on a nice flour tortilla with some cheese and just eat it right off the bat. But mm-hmm. How does one go about picking chili?
Well, what we've tried to educate people about is like when you go to the store now and get apples, there's a Honeycrisp, there's the the old Red Delicious, Granny Smith. They all have a little different flavor, and that's what we're trying to educate people about is ask for a variety. And New Mex varieties were developed here at New Mexico State to grow well and have great flavor. For example, we have New Mex Joey Parker, very mild, but a delicious green chili. And if you're first moving to New Mexico, it might be the green chili to start off with. It's not too hot. Then we have New Mex Heritage 6-4, which we bred to bring back that traditional green chili flavor. The growers were saying we're getting really good yields, we have nice disease resistance, but we lost our traditional green chili flavor. So we went back and developed New Mex Heritage 6-4, and it has six times the flavor components that the standard green chili that's being kind of grown and processed. And then if you want a hotter one, it's New Mex Sandia Select for the green side, because Sandia was really bred to be a red chili. It's a little thin-walled. It dried well and made great red powder, but if you use it as a green chili, you didn't get as much meat. So we produced a meatier, and we call it New Mex Sandia Select.
Let us go to Jerry, who has been passionately standing by at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk, where Fred Martino is standing by, ready to hear from you. Jerry, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Yes.
Jerry, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. What you got?
I was going to ask, what's your best recipe on how to make the sauce for the green enchiladas?
If you could turn down your radio. And your question is, what is a good recipe to make green enchiladas? Now, Juan, that's my question too, because I can make red enchiladas like no one's business, but when it comes to green, I am just so challenged.
Well, let me tell you. Now, do you like them hot, Jerry?
Yeah, I prefer hot.
You prefer the hotter the better. Yeah. Very good. So I would recommend one of those good Sandia Select chilies. Fire roast them. Blend those up. Now, what you want to do, you also want to roast some tomato, some garlic, some onion, and puree it, and then what you do, I'm sure you made an enchilada before, and then salt to taste. That's what I would do. But you definitely want to fire roast your chili along with your tomato, garlic, and onion. You'll have an amazing flavor, amazing aroma.
Let me ask you this question, Juan. What about soup? People that add mushroom soup to it.
Well, that's why I asked him if he liked it hot or mild. I was going to get into the cream of mushroom and cream of chicken. That's for the mild flavor, and you want to use like a Big Jim or Joey Parker, that, you know, they don't want that much heat in it.
And so the cream of mushroom and the chicken reduces the heat.
It reduces the heat, yes. It makes it more saucy as versus pure chili with tomato and onion and garlic.
Jerry, does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, it does. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public, KRWG's Red or Green Confidential, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Dr. Boston, let's talk about the history of chili. And it goes to Dr. Fabian Garcia.
Exactly. There'd be really no chili industry without Fabian. Dr. Garcia was our first horticulturist here, and his job was to find more crops that our growers could grow. When he started here in the 1880s, it was alfalfa, it was corn, it was cotton. Cotton was actually king. But he said, okay, I'm going to look around. I'm going to look at fruit trees. I'm going to look at other fruits and vegetables. And the interesting story is he actually introduced sweet onions to the United States. They grew sweet onions in Spain. And because he was bilingual, he wrote to Spain and said, could I get some onion seed? And he actually introduced sweet onions and shared them with Texas and Georgia. So Vidalia onions have their roots.
Is that where Vidalia comes from?
Exactly, from New Mexico State University, sharing those sweet onion seeds. And he looked at pecans and that's where the pecan industry came. But he looked around, and there was no chili industry at all. And he says, the only people that are eating chilies are the Hispanics, and they have a few in their backyard. So I think I'm going to breed a new chili. I'm going to make it more uniform, a little milder, higher yielding. And I'm going to see if I can get non-Hispanics to eat chili peppers. So he took about 8 to 10 years breeding, crossbreeding them. He took a pasilla, which is a chili out of Mexico, chili Colorado, which is like the northern New Mexican type, like a chimayo. There's something called chili negro, which we don't see very often, but a very, very dark brown small chili out of Mexico. Hybridized those and began to select for that characteristic shape that we see today, you know, as we begin to roast the chilies. And what we call that is the New Mexican pod type. So he released it. It became a big hit. And interesting is what happened was up until then, you used jalapenos for one dish. You had to use diarbos for another, mirasol for another dish, pasillas. But now we had one chili that you could use in everything what we called Mexican food, which was anything spicy hot. So the green chili became the basis and the red chili powder of all Mexican, quote unquote, in the United States. So we say he's the father of the Mexican food industry.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Dr. Bosslin, will there be a quiz after the show?
Absolutely.
Okay, 575-646-2212. Let's go to Sylvia, who has been standing by. Sylvia, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Sylvia. Okay, well, Sylvia got a little bit camera shy. If Teresa is standing by, let us go to Teresa, who's got a question that Dr. Bosslin will be able to answer. Teresa, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Well,
okay, all right. Ask that again.
My brother lives in Arkansas, although he grew up in Socorro, and he misses his chili, as you can imagine. They don't have chili in Arkansas. So he would like to know, what is a source that he can email or write or probably send his sister down to get some seeds from New Mexico chili to send to him in Arkansas?
Perfect. At the Chili Pepper Institute, and that's really why the Chili Pepper Institute began, was to have seed available. When I started more than three decades ago, you couldn't get seeds of the New Mexican pod types, and so that was really the first things we began to offer, and now we offer not only the New Mexican pod types, but jalapenos, serranos, and the super hots, plus a lot of ornamental chili seeds. So please come visit us, or you can order online. Just go to the Chili Pepper Institute website and place your order, and we'll ship them to your brother.
And for those of you that are watching us on our Facebook Live, we are showing that right now. The amount of seeds, about how many different seeds do you offer, or am I putting you on the spot here?
Well, you're putting me on the spot, but I know it's more than two dozen, but probably less than four dozen, so somewhere in between there.
All right, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join us in on our conversation on KRWG's Red or Green Confidential, Connie, welcome. And yes. What's on your mind?
What is the shelf life in the freezer for green chili?
That's a big question. I ask I generally don't let it go. Don't let it go for a year. It's gone.
Use it under a year. Double wrap it. Get a good quality Glad Ziploc. Double wrap it if you want to keep the integrity of the product. It will build frost.
But remember, that's too much green chili has never been said by any New Mexican.
No.
Absolutely not.
How many pounds of chili are you planning on hoarding this year, Connie?
About 30.
30 pounds.
All right.
And about how many pounds do you go through in a year?
About 40.
About 40.
I don't have enough room in my freezer for all of that.
Well, you're a New Mexican if you go buy a freezer just for your chili.
I haven't gotten that bad yet.
Okay. Thank you, Connie, for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to Paul. Paul, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. What's on your mind?
So my question is, for the Santa Fe Grill, is how do you come up with all the names for the different items?
Well, Paul, stand by for this one.
You missed out on our show that we did on Monday where we talked about it, but let me fill you in, my friend. We started about 20 years ago inside Pickwick Convenience Store, and one of the very first specialty brews we created was a Stone Cold Stunner. Let me tell you why. That was my favorite wrestler. He's still my favorite wrestler, which is carne asada topped out with pico de gallo and cheddar cheese, because cheddar always makes it better. Now, my second one was the Iron Man. And this was named after Mike Montoya. He was a triathlon athlete. He was a special ed teacher at Las Cruces High back then. And so that burrito is named after him. So throughout the years, my customers are the ones that built those burritos.
Oh, nice.
All right, Paul, thank you for joining us. Do you have anything else?
Well, Tom, my favorite Santa Fe grill item is definitely the Quesadilla del Muerte.
Quesadilla del Muerte.
Very good. Quesadilla de Muerte. Yes, that is a good one. We also have a burrito called La Muerte. That was named in honor of my lovely niece, who happens to be my business manager, Miss Aubrey Flores. She played on the football squad with Las Cruces, New Mexico Muerte.
Okay. All right. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Dr. Boslin, let's talk about the differences in red chili. It's grown throughout New Mexico throughout the year. Mm-hmm. What's the difference in red chili?
Before I answer that, I'd like to get my vote in for the red chili. That's my favorite.
See, I'm a red chili man.
Yeah, me too. And the difference is people don't realize, but green and red chili can come from the same plant. First, the plant will set the green fruits. And then we pick them and eat them. They're really immature from the plant's point of view. If you take the seeds out of a green chili, they won't grow another plant. But in the red chili, now they're mature, and the seeds from a red chili will produce offspring, more progeny. But the difference is that the red fruits begin to put on some more sugars in the fruits, and they get rid of what I have a very sensitive palate to bitter. And that bitterness leaves the green chili, and the red chili sauce is usually not as bitter. It's a little more sweet to me. And so you really do have two complete different flavors. And when Fabian released the very first one, we called them dual purpose. You would harvest a crop of green chili, then you would let that second set, third set mature to be red, and that's how you would store it. And people always ask about the ristra, and that's how the ristra came about. People would hang a ristra to dry those chilies and use them in the wintertime. And the story is if you went by a ranch or a house and you saw a ristra, you know they had a good season. You could stop and they would offer you a meal. But if you went by the ranch house and they didn't have a ristra, you had to keep going because they had a poor season. You didn't really want to be a burden on them. You might be taking their last bowl of beans. So you went on. And so now the ristra is a sign of welcome.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We've got about a little bit over 20 minutes to go. And all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win some cool prize packs from the Chili Pepper Institute and the Santa Fe Grill. Let us go to the phone where Herman is standing by. Herman, welcome to yes. KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Yes. I had a question. Why produce a jalapeno that's not hot and then mix it with the one that's hot? And when you go, it's frustrating because jalapeno has always been a hot chili, and now you can go there and get one that's not hot, but you don't know what you're getting.
Dr. Boslin, you've won an award for this.
Think about that.
Well, I actually won the Ig Nobel from Harvard University for producing a no-heat jalapeno. And the reason is in the food industry, when they make salsa, in the old days, what they would do is if you'd get a load of jalapenos and they were too hot and they wanted to make a mild or medium salsa, they would blend in bell peppers. Bell peppers has a totally different flavor. So they said if you would make a jalapeno with the flavor, but without heat, we can blend that in. And that's really why we do it. But the reason you see so many in the stores these days is that back east, the people said, oh, the jalapeno is too hot. And so plant breeders bred milder and milder ones to try to penetrate that eastern market. But today we know, as we were saying earlier, the young people would like hotter jalapenos. They like hotter chili. And so now they're complaining, oh, they're too mild.
Yes, but the researchers didn't think of maybe producing it in another color or an indicator that it was mild, so that
that's a great tip.
Grew up eating hot jalapenos.
Well, what we did do is
put up with the mild stuff.
Yeah. Well, we have three new jalapenos called New Mex Lemon Spice, Orange Spice, and Pumpkin Spice, and they mature to a beautiful bright yellow, bright orange, and pumpkin color. And these are really hot. Hot jalapenos. So if you really want a hot jalapeno, one of them is as hot as a habanero. So stop by, get some seed, and grow these, and I know you'll enjoy the heat.
Okay. Thank you, Herman.
Thanks.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by. Fred, what are people saying on social media?
Okay, we got a question for Dr. Boslin. Kat asks, is it true the amount or strength of the sun that chilies get affects the hotness factor?
It does, and also the weather, whether it's hot or cold, too much rain, too little rain. Any chili pepper will be hotter if it gets stressed. And so the mildest chili would be grown in San Diego. And if you take the same variety here from New Mexico and plant it in San Diego, they're actually much milder. So growing chilies in New Mexico with our, you know, warm temperatures, high intensity sun does make the chilies a little hotter. So the exact same variety is hotter in New Mexico than it is in a place that's has a more, I would say, milder climate. So any kind of stress, and people say, well, does that mean if I don't water, my chilies will get hotter? They will, but you also get less yield. So there's that trade-off. So that's why we say plant a variety that's got the heat level that you like, and then take really good care of it.
Okay, and Ronald also has a question. Do the stems and leaves of the pepper plant have any marketable use?
They do, and actually the leaves of the chili peppers are a vegetable in the Philippines. They grow it like spinach, and they use it in a famous chicken soup dish there. So you can. The stems, though, is not a good product per se. We do grind them up with the red chili in the powder, but they add what I can taste is a little bitter note. I don't know, Juan, if you notice that, but there's a red chili powder that's like the highest quality with no seeds, no stems, but you have to pay more for that because the yield's less.
Yes, I agree with that. When we were experimenting with our wildfire, I was getting the peppers in, and we were throwing them with the stems. And it was producing a much better flavor. So, you know, I invested a couple of extra pennies in getting them in without the stem, and we got a much better flavor.
Okay, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Join in on the conversation on KRWG's Voice of the Public's Red or Green Confidential. I was going to call you Dr. Juan Morales.
Thank you very much.
He's the doctor of the burrito.
Doctor of the burrito, Juan Morales, and Dr. Paul Boslin with Chili Pepper Institute are our guests. Let us go to Michael, who has been patiently standing by the phone lines at 575-646-2212. Michael, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Hi, thank you. And I think I'm going to have to vote for both red and green because I love them both. But my question or comment was, about 15 years ago, we tried for the very first time making a red chili sauce out of the fresh red pick pods, blanching them, blending them, and straining them to get the sauce. And I found that to be much more flavorful, maybe a little bit sweeter than the dry pod. And kind of the reason I got tired or kind of went away from the dry pod was because with the kiln drying, it seemed like it was getting a real smoky kind of bitter flavor. Do you find that in kiln drying?
Yes, we do. That's why I like to use sun-roasted, sun-dried chili. Yes, indeed, sir. And that one that you were talking about, it's actually, they call it here in Las Cruces in Doñana County, a wet chili. That's what it's fresh. It is fresh.
Correct.
And they'll be available here in the next couple of weeks because it's chili season right now. So, you know, they start off green and they start maturing into a beautiful autumn blend.
Right. And so my family, like I said, we've gotten used to the wet chili or fresh red is what I call it. And, we put up our 10, 15 gallons, you know, for the whole family during the fall season. But I don't know if any restaurants in town, do you know, use the fresh red?
I couldn't tell you, sir.
I'm not aware of any restaurants doing it. But I do know that, you know, in talking about the differences in kiln roasted and sun-dried, I prefer sun-dried all the way.
All the way, a la natural.
Also, Juan, you might speak about how you can take the dried whole pods to make a nice sauce.
Absolutely, you sure can. And you could, with the whole pods, what we do here at Santa Fe Grill.
Are we salivating? Because we keep smacking our lips.
Yes.
We're salivating. You've got food. If we can look at our Facebook page. Talk to me about these chili rellenos before we move on, because these chili rellenos are intense.
Well, okay. Let me tell you about these chile rellenos right here. This is one of our signature recipes from the old Santa Fe restaurant. And what they are fire-roasted green chilies. And they are sandias, by the way. And what we did with them, we fire-roasted them, peeled them, and then we made we sautéed with some Chablis butter. We caramelized some onion, and we threw in some bay shrimp, scallops, and some crab meat in there, which we made an awesome seafood medley right there. So what we did, we stuffed them very generously. And we set them in a bit of cream reduction sauce, which is our award-winning sauce, one of our signature sauces, cream chili milanesa sauce.
All right, go back to they're talking about the red chili.
Well, my carne adobada recipe, this is what I have right here. I fire roast over the flames of the sandia peppers. And with chile de árbol in there. So I roast them. I put them in the roaster just to get them a little toasty. Then what I do, I put them in my blender, grind them up, and then at that time, while that's going on, I'm browning my meat over here with my seasoning and stuff, and then I just marry it together, bring it to a boil, let it simmer for about an hour and a half, and voila, you're in business.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to William, who has been standing by. William, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Yes, greetings.
Greetings, sir.
Of course, I love your chile, both green and red. And I was wondering that maybe you do, or maybe not, combine it with chile manzano or chile habanero, which is very, very picante. Is that possible?
Everything's possible. It's just up to you, your palate, your preference.
I can tell you the chili manzano doesn't really grow here. It comes from the Andes in Peru. It's a totally different species of chili pepper, and it really grows so big down there. It's almost as big as a bell pepper, and that's what they use to make chili rellenos in Peru. And talking about chili heat, it has a very unusual heat. It lingers. People will say that, you know, hours later after I've eaten a manzano or the chili pubescence, ricotto is what they call it in Peru, you'll have that heat burning sensation.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host for KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Juan, we went out on the streets and we talked to people about what their chili preference is, whether they prefer red or green, and what their favorite dish is.
My name is Tito Meyer. Chili rellenos with my favorite dish, and we're about to have fresh green chili, so that'll be great, with green chili on top, smothered. And then for other things like huevos rancheros, I prefer red. So it depends on the dish.
My name is Jorge Rodriguez. I'm from Silver City, New Mexico. My favorite chili is green chili. My favorite dish would have to be probably beef enchiladas, smothered, or the green chili enchiladas.
Do you put an egg on your enchiladas?
Only if it's my red enchiladas. That's in the mornings, too. Oh, it's my favorite thing.
My name is Mario. I'm from Deming, New Mexico. And my favorite chili is chile de árbol. And I'd have to say red enchiladas with the egg on top, definitely.
My name is Christina Mendez. My favorite chili. I love our autumn chili with Santa Fe Grill. It's a very special blend. The chilies are kind of a red. It comes out of fire red. Oh, it's the best here. My favorite plate that they make is actually the enchiladas. They come out very good. And the tamales, they're so great. I can't even pick because I don't even know what my favorite is.
Oh, you gotta pick. Talk to me, Juan, about your autumn blend. This is unique to our area.
Well, the autumn blend, you know, it's a blend that I use because what it does, it gives it that Christmas color to our product. You know, as you guys saw the other day at the grill, you know, it has that beautiful orange, reddish, and then with that fire roasted green in there, and it just gives an incredible flavor. That's why we use so much of it, Edmundo.
All right, let us go to our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by. Fred Martino, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, we have the poll results.
Oh, with the poll results.
That we've been talking about and hearing about, the chili sauce that you prefer. And green is number one by far, 18. 11 folks liked red, and 7 were diplomatic, liked Christmas.
What do you think, Dr. Bossman?
I think everybody should take a stand, but I can understand.
All right, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to the phones where David is standing by. David, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Glad to be talking to you.
What's on your mind, sir?
I want to know why we can't grow poblana chilies here in Mexico. That's all they use for rellenos.
The reason is they've really not adapted to the heat here. You can actually grow them, and they're also a very tall, viney plant. So commercially, we have a hard time under our agricultural practices to grow it. But if you wanted to grow some in your backyard, you can. Just going to have to stake them up like you would stake a vining tomato. And they will set in the spring, not too much in the midsummer, but then they'll set again in the fall.
Okay. Thank you very much.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Let us go to Leah, who is standing by. Leah, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Thank you.
Yes, what's on your mind?
I need to know from Dr. Boslin, what is the difference between habanero and a scotch bonnet?
Okay, they both belong to a kind of a different chili species than the chilies we grow here. It's called Capsicum chinense. That's the one you usually see in the Caribbean. And this habanero originally came from the Yucatan of Mexico, and it's very warm. It's about 100,000 Scoville heat units. It's kind of pales with these super hots nowadays, but it was one of the hottest chilies. The Scotch bonnet is a little milder, and you usually find that on, say, Jamaica or some of the other islands. So they're just kind of regional chilies.
Are they cousins to each other?
Are they what?
Cousins.
Yes, exactly. Or siblings, I guess you could say. They, you know, they're the same species, but kind of selected. The difference we would say here is the difference between a jalapeno and maybe a serrano.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Boslin.
You're welcome.
575-646-2212. If you want to get in on the drawing for the great prizes that we've got from the Chili Pepper Institute and the Santa Fe Grill, you've got about 8 minutes, actually about 4 minutes to do it. And call in right now. You don't have to be on the air, but you can ask them to register you to win one of the great prizes. Let's go to Dave, who has been standing by. Dave, welcome to KRWG's Red or Green Confidential.
Hello. Well, I like all the chili, red or green. I don't mind. But I'm curious about when I make green enchilada sauce, I have a thickening agent. I use either flour, and sometimes I use cornstarch. Which do you think would be the best one to use? Or do you have a better idea?
Well, are you using like a jalapeno, sir, or a green chili?
No, I'm using like generally Joe Parker.
Okay, very good. I would use flour myself. Flour, you know, just get it in there. I would put a little bit of oil, olive oil, brown the flour, and then you want to add your puree liquefied sauce in there. Bring it to a boil, and then let simmer to your thickness of desire. If it gets too thick on you, then you want to add a little bit more chili or water, because with cornstarch, the thickening agent, it's like immediately, it'll be like glue.
Right. Okay, and basically that's pretty much what I normally do. I use the olive oil also.
Very good.
Although I go for a little more chunky as opposed to puree. I puree a bit, then I put my chunks of green chili in it.
Outstanding. Great. That sounds like a great recipe, sir. Make sure you add your little bit of garlic in there, jazz it up
a little.
And then you could also roast the onions or boil the onions. It depends on your preference, and then just salt to taste.
Right, and I put a little comino in.
There you go. Comino's always good with green. It's always good with green because we use it on one of our burritos, so it's our green chili meat and potato, and it gives it a fabulous flavor.
All right, thank you, Dave, for joining us on KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Dr. Boslin, talk to me about the Chili Pepper Institute. What is it?
The Chili Pepper Institute is, we say, our mission statement is to educate the world about the wonders of chili peppers. And We have all kinds of products that people, like the lady that called in and said she was looking for chili seeds. We have those. We have powders of the different types of chilies, jalapeno powder, green chili powder, red chili powder. And then we have a lot of different kinds of sauces. And we worked with the NMSU University Communication Office to come up with the Holy Jalokia products, which were, after we discovered the Bhut Jalokia, or the ghost pepper from India, the first chili pepper to hit 1 million Scoville heat units, we made some products, and from that, and the first thing was a hot sauce, and we said we want flavor, not just heat. So we began to make those products, and so now we have a whole range. We have cookbooks, like we said, we have t-shirts, we have caps, we have and we can also get ornamental chili pepper plants there for your home. And that's one thing we haven't touched on, is that ornamental chili peppers make a great addition, kind of like you know, having a chrysanthemum or a poinsettia during the holidays. And then you can also eat them. Ornamental chili peppers are edible. So we have a big range of things, and it's open to the public 8 to 5 whenever the university is open. So please stop by.
Dr. Bosley, what is your biggest seller?
Our biggest seller is seeds, and usually the New Mexican pod types.
And you also have green chili available.
We do. We actually freeze some of the New Mex Sandia Select, New Mex Heritage Big Jim, and New Mex Heritage 6-4. Unfortunately, we can't ship it because shipping frozen green chili really adds a cost. And you'll spend more on shipping than you would on buying the green chili. So we have it available for people to walk in and buy it there in the shop.
Juan Morales, what's your favorite thing to eat?
Chile rellenos.
Chile rellenos. Why?
Because you could have chile rellenos in the morning for breakfast because it has egg. You could have it for lunch and a burrito with beans, or for dinner alongside of a nice red or green enchilada.
Dr. Boslin, what's your favorite dish?
You know, chile rellenos again, because that, I think, really takes a good cook to make it. If you don't cook them right, they become real greasy and heavy. But if you have a nice fluffy coating on that green chili, and then I personally like just the ones that are stuffed with cheese. It just makes it really shows how well a cook can cook and how good a chili can taste.
What goes into what is the secret to making a good relleno? I can't do relleno.
Well, we could do it the old-fashioned way on the big old heavy skillet with the oil, the manteca, or we could do it the way I do it at home on a griddle.
On a griddle.
On a griddle, which you would do your pancakes on. Yes, That is a fluffy, airy, greaseless relleno.
Okay, so what do you put for the relleno? Is it egg?
Yeah, for the batter?
Yeah, the batter. What goes into it?
What you want to do, of course, you get your preference on chili that you like. You fire roast it, peel it. You know, you stuff it with a ton of cheese. You know, there's cheddar, there's Monterey Jack, provolone, you name it. I even do some with Velveeta.
Velveeta.
Velveeta, very creamy flavor, and they're fabulous. And what you do, you know, you stuff it, you roll them in the flour, you want to get your grill to about 350, 375 degrees, and throw a little dab of oil or butter on the griddle, and just drop it in the batter, set your relleno down, let it brown on one side, flip it over your spatula, and you're in business.
How many pounds of green chili are you going to hoard for yourself this season?
I have a walk-in freezer you could drive a semi into.
Dr. Boslin, what about you?
I use the Chili Pepper Institute. I buy mine a small package, one at a time.
One at a time. All right, let us go to the drawings. Dr. Boslin, this is for this package here.
The hot sauces?
The hot sauces,
okay.
Yes.
Ronald J. Fitz. I'm going to just, it looks like maybe they crossed out the back name here, or I can't read it, but it's
so Ronald?
Ronald J. Fitz. From a Twitter account.
Okay, so Ronald, congratulations. And for the big chili prize pack?
Alan Monse with a Twitter account.
Okay, Alan, congratulations. And Juan, let's go for the gift certificate.
Okay, well, no, it's Paul.
Paul, congratulations. And for the gift basket?
Mona with a Twitter account.
All right, Mona, congratulations. Thank you for joining us on KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. We've had a lot of fun. Dr. Boslin, any closing words?
Well, I forgot to mention that we do have a garden at Fabian Garcia Science Center with 150 different types of chilies, self-guided tour. There's a map out there. You can learn all about the different chilies by walking through it.
Juan Morales.
Never fear, the Santa Fe Grill is here.
They can do it all. All right, thank you for joining us on KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Voice of the Public was produced by Jacob Lockwood, who also handled the phone lines. Fred Martino is content director and worked the social media desk. Anthony Moreno was our studio producer, and Mark Johnson was our technical producer. Kristen Valle handled our camera for our Facebook Live. Stay with us. Coming up next, Intermezzo with Liora Zeitlin.